You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to help you plan that unbelievable travel experience. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Oh man, oh crap, oh goodness. It's the NBA free agency has begun at the time of the recording of this podcast. It's Adil Royster, host of the Out of Sight podcast. Chill ride, chill vibes as always. But there's nothing chill about this dang NBA free agency already. Already got a lot to get into. Therefore, we brought on Dave Early, associate editor of Liberty Ballers. We're going to talk about free agency so far and final thoughts on the draft as well, and just see where the landscape is after some of these dominoes have fallen already. Kyle Lowry's fallen already. Lonzo Ball has fallen already. We're just going to see how this goes. It's a point guard rich market there, Dave. How you doing?
I'm good, man. Thank you for having me. Breaking news as I'm saying this, Robert Covington has tweeted people getting paid with three flying cash stacks.
Rob, believe me, if we could have you back here, I would be the first one to pick you up at Philly International. I just want you to know that right now. I miss me some Lord Covington. I miss using that meme on a nightly basis. Let's start with the draft. Sixers got Jaden Springer 28th. And did you feel it was kind of like last year where, you know, Maxey fell as far as he did? Like, wasn't Springer rated pretty dang high on some people's boards?
Yes. Yeah. I like it a lot. Like, you know, I know that the Sixers over the last few years have been interested in finding an older player, a guy with a little more experience, you know, the type of thing Greg Popovich would like to do for a long time.
Right.
Where maybe I can play you in your first year, maybe your second year, but you're not a massive project. And that's why we saw them go for guys like Matisse, who I think he was 22 when they got him. And Daryl has now twice, although Keith Pompey mentions that Elton Brand had a lot to do with the Maxey pick as well. But now twice with Daryl Morey, we've gotten young guys who kind of fell, who you really weren't sure. They weren't no-brainer fits because you're always looking for shooters if you have Ben Simmons. I guess that's a much bigger question mark this time around. So if Ben is gone, you really would love Springer's defense. If Ben is here, you're really going to need Springer's shooting for him to get on the court. But yeah, picking really young guys, basically just taking best player available, it seemed like.
And it's another one of those drafts where an SEC guard falls further than people thought he was. And Daryl Morey just comes in like, oh, you guys aren't going to take him? 27 guys passed on you? Okay, we'll fall on that sword happily. That's fine.
More than happily, yeah. There's this dude on Twitter that I follow, Jesse Fisher, who's got a board. And he had Springer his fifth-rated prospect.
Wow.
Yeah, so, I mean, there could just be sick value here. I spent a lot of time watching his jump shot. Like, I watched like tons and tons of Springer attempts, catch and shoot, pull-ups, free throws, to try to get some sense of what he's like as a shooter. Cause you know, with a guy who's like an outstanding on ball defender, that's going to be a big swing skill for whether or not he gets paid like some of these guys are today.
Right. And I hear what you're saying about looking at free throws and jump shots and all like that. And always, every time you look at free throw percentage as kind of a litmus test of how good of a shooter somebody can be. In his 1 year at Tennessee, he shot 81% from the free throw line, but he also shot 43% from three. Unfortunately, that was only on, you know, 46 total attempts last year. So small sample size, or do you kind of see where there might be some potential a little bit?
Yeah, I agree. I agree with you. I think the free throw is kind of like, you don't really get this lab scenario in football. Like, it would be the equivalent would be like, if everyone had to stop and the quarterback gets to throw a 10-yard pass to a standing still receiver,
right?
How good is he at that? And then that tells you, like, okay, we know that he's accurate. When there's no movement, no running, no defenders, Jaden can hit those shots. I did notice, and this is a thing that a lot of players do, on his first of two, he's kind of there to stay. He takes his free throw.
Yep.
On the second of two, when he knows he's got to get back on D, he's got a little fade to his shot, and sometimes he'll miss the second of two, long or short. I don't know any data that he's worse on the second, but I have seen him start to sag back on his heels to get back on D on that second one. So I would just say, like, just stay at the line for both free throws.
I will say this with free throw percentage as it relates to three-point shooting. Maxey had an 83% free throw rate at Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't completely translate all the way to the NBA, where he shot about 30% on 100 total made threes. Is that more because of, like, playing time, or just didn't have the opportunity to you know, jack up as many as he wanted to? Because he did have that one game where, like, you saw flashes where he'll go, like, 3 of 5 from downtown. Like, that's there for him. So I feel like it might be a small sample size for Springer, but at least I can kind of see where the potential may lie, given what we've already seen with Maxey.
You know, I think there's so many variables between the two shots, a free throw and a live action NBA three-pointer, that it's important. Like, you want to see, he shot 61 of 70 on his regular season pro free throw attempt. That's 87%.
Yeah.
So a lot of ways it did translate. Did it mean he was going to come in as a rookie and shoot like 37%? No, he shot 30%. On 103 attempts. But, you know, again, like, that's live action. Some of those are off the dribble. Like, the Sixers at times asked him to do big things. Like, there was a week where Ben Simmons had a non-COVID illness, and Tyrese Maxey, remember that Denver game where he shot over 30 times. So he got, like, the indoctrination that Shake got a year ago. It was like, well, you're our only source of offense, so please go to town. He took some tough shots.
In the second round, the Sixers had a pick, and they bought a pick, triggering the following response for me. Sixers buying second round picks in this economy? No. but with the first of the two picks, they picked up Filip Petrušev coming over from KK Mega Basket. We're going to have another one of those fun summers of, like, is he coming over? So it's always nice to replay that old record.
I think we already know he's not coming over. The Daryl Morey confirmed he doesn't think he's coming over, or something like that. The night
this
of.
Year or permanently?
This year.
Okay, this year I can understand, but just like draft and stash forever, just no. Can we not have that?
I believe he's a stash for this coming year. Yeah,
played his college ball at Gonzaga, so. I trust that program. That program has produced some studs, none of which happen to be Adam Morrison, but that's just my personal displeasure with Adam Morrison. Petrušev was the MVP in his league, and I'm like, is anybody else not scouting these guys? What's going on?
Yeah.
How did the Sixers just keep falling into these guys with Petrušev and Paul Reed? Like, is Daryl the only one looking at these guys? Because I feel like he is now.
It's a good question how they fell so far. I think if you had to explain it, it would be like, there's just everyone's watching the perimeter play is what sort of garnering, you know, the NBA's attention. That's where everyone is. That's, these wings are going higher and higher,
right?
Shooting is a premium, and so these bigs are getting pushed back further than they would in years prior. I think that's my best explanation. I mean,
Oh, you want shooting, Dave? You want shooting? Can I interest you in Mr. Petrusev, who made damn near 42% of his threes for KK Mega Basket?
His jumper looks good. His form looks good to me. I mean,
that's crazy town.
Go ahead.
I will say this, and this was brought up during the draft live stream. Defense is kind of a question with him, as was Alperen Şengün, who was taken by, I want to say it was either Atlanta or San Antonio, or Oklahoma City, I think it was. But I like Şengün as high as 9 to Sacramento, but I see where it comes in with defense. But if he comes over and he's just like the stretch four off the bench that the Sixers have been pining over the last couple of years, that's totally worth it for just a 1 year stash, like almost kind of like Dario in a way.
This is the reason that Brian Colangelo moved up for Pasechnik. he knew the value of a stretch, right? He once took on Andrea Bargnani first overall. He at least got it. You got to have a stretch five.
are you trying to say that Brian Colangelo was ahead of the curve in terms of the stretch four, stretch five?
I'm saying he at least understood the value of it. He drafted guys like Jonah Bolden.
You're going to make me kind of you're going to make me give positive praise to Brian Colangelo on this podcast, Dave. Is that what you're doing right now? Is that better not be what you're doing?
We can take it all back for the way it played out, because okay. He also traded Okafor for like Trevor Booker and rostered Amir Johnson and all these guys who we knew weren't gonna stretch the floor. But he did think about it and tried to do it here and there.
And Charles Bassey is another one of those like stretch bigs. I mean, he doesn't hit with the same volume as Petrusev, but it's there. And if you have two lottery tickets for a decent stretch big off the bench, sure, let's cash those in, see which one pans out.
I like Bassey. He's got some like really exciting plays. He flashes some power and athleticism on tape where you're like, whoa. You always want to temper your expectations, because when you pull up any 53rd overall picks highlights, you're always like, wow, that guy's awesome, and then he doesn't make the NBA, and that could be the case again.
And then you realize he played at Western Kentucky, and that might be why he went all the way to 53rd.
Are you taking a poop on the Hilltoppers? What's going on?
I might be. I'm just saying. There's not many draft picks coming out of the powerhouse of Western Kentucky. Kentucky, sure.
Yeah. He was a top 18 overall coming out of high school prospect for ESPN.
Yeah,
I think he was going to pick around where Tyrese Maxey went before he had the gruesome tibia plateau injury that JJ Watt had.
Before the injury, yeah, I liked Charles Bassey when he was coming out last year, you know, before the injury, like I said, and I liked him in the first round. I didn't think the Sixers would take a chance on him, but yeah, it just goes to show you, man, like Daryl Morey knows what he's doing in terms of like where to pick up these, like just these bodies. And even if Bassey just goes right to the G League, he's still a body and he's going to get minutes down there and he's going to kind of see where he fits into the NBA.
Yeah. Morey's got the track record of finding really helpful guys pretty late, like Beverly, Clint Capella, Montrezl Harrell. So, you know, The one of these guys can be good. Maybe they won't both be, but if you get to stash one and the other comes over right away, there's a good chance that you get a rosterable player here.
Okay, so it's free agency time, and we're going to get into everything that has dropped already. But real quick, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be right back, and yeah, we're getting into this free agency business.
Vacations can be tricky. You already know how to book flights and hotels, but now the only thing you're missing is, you know, the actual travel experience. Because is it really a vacation if you're just sitting around like you would at home? You need a tool to get the most out of your time away. That's where Viator steps in. You can book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected. And 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Okay, so at the time of this recording, it is 7:15 Eastern on August 2nd. The trade market is open, has been open for about an hour. Kyle Lowry to Miami. Now, Lowry was on the Sixers radar for a while. And I'm going to ask you a two-part question. Does Lowry to the Sixers, would that have made them 100% favorites in the East? And then second part, now that Lowry's in Miami, that big three of Lowry, Butler, and Bam, how good is that Heat team? Are they top three in the East? I don't think so.
So the first part, they would not have been favorites in the East. The Nets still would be.
Yes.
And I think the Bucks would probably still be ahead of the Sixers, because I think having won the championship buys you a little bit of standing with Vegas and the odds makers. And I think the Ben Simmons situation and the unknown surrounding whether or not he'll even be here would just give odds makers enough pause to say, I don't know what's going on here. But yeah, Lowry would have been a huge get, because if they got him, it would have probably been for Danny Green as a sign and trade wherever he wound up. I don't know. And that would have been pretty exciting. It would have been hard not to get excited, even though he's older, to come to a core. And now you have a big four, and the chance to trade Ben if someone else became available, if they wanted to do that. Going to Miami, yeah, I think you could argue he makes them the third best team. The Sixers are there, and I wouldn't count them out. They could, I mean, Joel Embiid is a top five player. And so if Ben Simmons is on the team, we could at least pencil them in for a top five defense with a top five player, which is pretty darn good. So you can't count them out as the third best team in the East, but you also couldn't pencil them in there as the third seed too confidently either.
Honestly, I don't know if Lowry, and then they re-signed Duncan Robinson to $90 million over, what was that, 4 years, 5 years?
5 years, yeah, 5 years.
Good luck with that contract, Miami. Goodness gracious. Is Duncan Robinson, am I missing something? Is Duncan Robinson really a $20 million a year player? What am I missing?
I guess I'll take the easy road and say he's like peak Kyle Korver, right? Is that fair?
But you're not giving Kyle Korver $90 million.
You wouldn't have then, but would you in today's economy?
yeah. Shooters are at a premium now. That is true.
Yeah, it's about 18 mil a year, and he might not get the fifth year of it if he opts out and can do better. But yeah, it's a big contract. I guess letting him walk would have hurt, right? So
yeah, I guess they got something, I guess.
Yeah, it's not necessarily like you would have had a ton of cap space to work with. You might have had to get a much cheaper guy if you didn't do this. So maybe it's as simple as, hey, if management wants to pay these exorbitant bills, let's do it.
Lonzo Ball, another name that has been rumored in some dark, really really, really dark spaces of Sixers Twitter. Lonzo gets a 4-year, $85 million sheet with the Bulls, and that was part of a sign and trade. Satoransky, Garrett Temple, and a second round pick to New Orleans. I can't imagine that makes Zion happy.
I don't really understand it at all. I mean, this is, to me, this is so far the most confusing thing that I've seen. I don't, like, I know that Lonzo Ball is not the perfect player. Our Jackson Frank wrote a really, really good piece on him recently. If you haven't read that, I want to give it a plug, because he talks about his real flaws, but also his real strengths. He's not a superstar, but he does, at this point, he kind of has the floor of a good 3-and-D player, you know?
Yes.
And so you'd happily pay $15 million for a good 3-and-D player. The Sixers will be lucky to get Danny Green back as of this recording. They have not yet, and I'm really nervous to see if they lose him for nothing, because that would hurt.
There's a lot of Lakers rumors being thrown around, which I don't know how they make that work with the.
With
the utter lack of cap space the Lakers have.
I texted my friends when Danny said, when he talked about Ben and how Ben, like, if you don't push him, he's not someone who'll push himself. And I was like, oh, he's out of here. He's not worried about any awkward locker rooms.
Right.
he's gone and he knows it. And then Pompey wrote, like, I don't expect Danny Green to come back. So I wonder if that's been known, that he just, like, just didn't love it here or whatever. I don't know.
Sixers have possibly lost Danny Green. They've also possibly lost Furkan Korkmaz. The Cavaliers are kind of sniffing around a little bit. And on the one hand, I'm like, oh, cool, Furkan, go get your bag. Go get your money. And that makes me a little bit depressed, but at the same time, I'm like, okay, I guess this means that Isaiah Joe gets to step in a little bit, maybe?
It's not really fair to expect him to be able to do that.
True. I mean,
it'd be great if he could, but it hurt the way the cork fizzled in the playoffs. Like, he was... There was a couple games there where the Sixers just needed anyone to score, and we were at home and just no one could do it. And Korkmaz was included in some of those games where he just wasn't hitting his shots. Not over that yet, but going back to Ball, I like it a lot for the Bulls, and it brings up memories of, like, I know the Sixers were pursuing Kyle Lowry at the deadline. I wanted them to pursue Lonzo, who, like, it almost feels like they're not really getting something great back for him. I know they're not losing him for nothing with Satoransky and a second and all that, but
it kind of feels like they didn't get nothing out of the trade.
They didn't get anything good. Is that what you mean?
Let me put it this way. There is nothing in that Lonzo Ball deal on the New Orleans side that they received where I'm thinking to myself, okay, that guy plus Brandon Ingram plus Zion, all right, let's roll with the Pelicans. Let's see what they can do now that they have the third guy. And like you said,
look, man, Lonzo might not be that. He's not happy here, didn't he?
Well, I guess. But
maybe we should have taken that as gospel.
Listen, LeVar, if you thought dealing with Lakers ownership and New Orleans ownership was something, yeah, now your guy's Jerry Reinsdorf. Have fun with that, my friend. Enjoy.
I want to cover the hell out of that. I wanted to cover the Simmons Lonzo weirdness and LeVar. I wanted the Sixers to get Lonzo. I'm disappointed.
So now that Lonzo is in Chicago, let's ask this question. Does that take Ben Simmons off the table? Because a lot of hay has been made on Simmons for Zach LaVine, one-for-one swap, which I don't like at all. And I have chronicled many times on many Liberty Ballers podcasts, even shouting from the art museum steps, do not trade for Zach LaVine. There's not video of that, but just believe me that it happened. Is Chicago any real player for Ben Simmons in a trade now? Because I feel with Lonzo Ball, that kind of takes him out of it.
Before I answer that, I will say our listeners will already know this, but Korkmaz is staying.
Yes.
He has signed for a 3-year, $15 million deal.
That's a pretty good
value
deal
for the Sixers there.
Great value. Yeah,
$5 million a year. Great value.
More Korkmaz is being popped for next season. Let's go.
Good job. Good job, Maury and Brand. Good job. So I wouldn't say it completely takes it off the table, but I think it was already kind of off the table in a non-definite way. I think they would have to open up the year being pretty crappy for Zach to say, I want out of here. I think he's looking forward to his next contract, and I think it will be biggest there. I guess teams are, you know, these guys like Beal and Levine and even pure sweat guys like those two I just named don't seem to be clamoring to play with Joel Embiid for whatever reason.
Interesting.
Maybe they like having a more spread floor. Maybe the idea of having to share with a guy who's already in the paint isn't their favorite, or maybe it's just about the money and they're going to get the biggest, you know, they could each get a 5-year deal a year from today and then ask out a year from that point when they're, you know, 28, 29, whatever. So it could just be that. Usually it's, what do they say from The Wire? Just follow the money, you'll figure it out.
I always appreciate a good quote from The Wire. Always. You can drop them even if they don't necessarily make sense in the context of the conversation. Just do it.
If you follow the money, you never know where you're going to wind up.
And, exactly.
People might take away, like, the Sixers are not a destination team, but it could just be as simple as the Sixers don't have cap space. Of course they're not.
All right. Lowry's now in Miami. I don't know how Simmons to Toronto works. I really don't. I'm not doing it for Siakam, that's for sure. So I guess that just leads me to, where do we go from here? I mean, they re-signed Korkmaz, and that's great. And hopefully they can get another proven veteran in under the MLE. We'll see what happens. But yeah, I don't know. It's weird having a team that is in championship contention and you're thinking to yourself, okay, what can they do with the cap space they have or very little that they have? And I just don't know what options are really left.
Wouldn't it be funny if the fan base wanted nothing more than to run it back in 2019 and nothing less in 2021, and they get to run it back this year?
That would be fantastic. I
feel like that could happen here.
Listen, I have no problem running it back with this team. I have been very much on the hill of, okay, every player is going to have one of those awful career defining series where it's like a come to Jesus moment. Maybe this is the one for Ben. We'll have to see. But I at least want to give him the first like month and a half.
A lot of our fellow Liberty ballers want him gone, and they think it's too untenable and they're disgusted with him.
Oh, great. I'm the only one dying on this hill. That's fantastic, guys. Appreciate it.
I'm with you. I mean, my stance is just sort of the same. Like, I would be open to trading Ben, but I would have been open to trading him a year ago. Talk to me what the freaking deal is. I'm not just going to do it.
Yeah.
And this the irony,
not,
I think.
This is not Philadelphia Eagles do the deal Twitter. That's not what this is.
Right, because if you have that type of leverage, then you're going to fleece Daryl Morey, and I don't think he wants to get fleeced.
Yeah.
And the irony of it all is that, like, Ben is the type of player that he would be sniffing around if Ben were on another team. He'd be like, oh, you kind of misused him by leaving him in the dunker spot. Now your fan base and best player don't want him around.
Yeah.
I would love to get that guy. I'd love to buy low on that player and actually utilize him in a way that's better than he's been utilized. But the funny thing about it is, why didn't he say that in March?
Right.
Me and you were talking, like, they're definitely not like doing much to get Ben Simmons' confidence up. I get why he's in the dunker spot when Joel Embiid's posting up, but I don't get it when Tobias Harris is dribbling around top of the key and Dwight Howard is in the post also.
Or yeah, exactly. Why are we doing Tobias Dwight Howard lineups? Why was that a thing? It should have been Ben Simmons in that spot. But
let's not make our listeners' ears bleed by going down that road.
I'm sorry. I apologize. You're right. You're right. When you're right, you're right. And I'm not doing that.
My ears will bleed here.
We've had enough of that already this off season thinking about that. But you know, hopefully Doc will get his head out of his keister. I use keister because it's a family program. We'll just have to see what happens going into this next training camp. I will say, looking at the summer league roster, I am gonna watch so much Sixers summer league. It's gonna be fantastic.
Summer league is pretty fun.
Maxi just dropping 50 every night. Let's go.
It's kind of weird and fun that a team who's in win now mode have like a lot of names that are like prospects, isn't it? Like,
yeah,
the Blazers had like just Anfernee Simons, and now the Sixers have Maxi, Joe, B-Ball, Paul, Bassey, Springer. There's a lot of guys you want to see get reps.
Always going to be fun. So real quick, Zach Collins has agreed to a 3-year, $22 million deal with San Antonio.
When does he get to play again?
Or yeah, exactly. Where is he play? When is he playing?
I don't know. What, didn't he just do another injury?
Alex Burks getting some more of that New York bag, 3 years, $30 million.
It felt like a lot when I saw the number. Remember, he was like a minimum salary guy when we traded for
him. Right.
But I guess he's good enough where if he's making about $10 million a year, and so is Nerlens, who got a similar deal, that they could use those guys as trade salaries. Like, we're happy to have you. Welcome back. We're happy to do what we did last year again and just be fun and competitive. But we also now have some ways to trade for someone, like two or three of these $10 million contracts equals one $30 million contract.
And this one just depresses me and makes me upset because this is a guy that I kind of targeted and I thought he would be available for that kind of money. Bobby Portis, 2 years, $9 million to return to Milwaukee. $4.5 million to stay in Milwaukee. Damn it.
So
I hate Milwaukee
this hurts,
now.
Man.
I hate this Milwaukee.
Because your favorite team, the 76ers, have one of the best GMs in the entire league in Daryl Morey. And we wind up with Dwight Howard and they wound up with Bobby Portis for $3.8 million. And you wonder if that was flipped, what would the conference finals have looked like? I don't know how they could have made it work.
It would look like a lot of confetti falling at the Wells Fargo Center. That's what it would look like.
It would,
and not premature, honestly, like, and not premature confetti either, like right on time.
There's definitely a non-zero percent chance that they would have won the title if you could have made that swap. And I don't think it would have been impossible. Like, you had a pretty darn good sell a year ago. You could have said, look, we're going to load manage Joel for 20 games and he's going to sit for 12 minutes. So that's 20 games you get to start. And then every other game you're a important backup to us.
And I'll just end this pod with the Kings doing Sacramento Kings like things. They sign Mo Harkless, and then they just inked Alex Len to a 2-year deal. Alex Len, Alex Len is still in the league. He's still playing professional basketball.
I guess so. Yeah, you know, he's a serviceable old school big.
Sure, we'll give him those adjectives. Sure, I'll give him that.
Backup and center Boban Marjanovic, new deal with Dallas. Our guy.
Oh, man, there are times where I kind of miss Boban. It's very specific timing, just not in any kind of important playoff series. That's when I miss him.
I'll say this: it was extremely fun watching Clippers go up against a 2-3 zone with Boban and Porzingis on the back half.
Oh my god.
I was like, what am I watching? This is the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
Is this basketball? What am I watching right here? I thought I was watching basketball. I don't know what this is now. Dave Early.
TJ, you have any thoughts on TJ getting a 4-year $35 million deal to stay?
Good for him. I think that TJ is one of those underrated players that, and it's a fairly decent deal too. I don't think he's overpaid. I don't think he's underpaid. It's right in that sweet spot where I think TJ deserves right there, and I think he's in it. So shout out to
Moose Muscala stays in OKC.
Another one of those guys where it makes me kind of think, wait, he's still in the league? Damn, okay.
Just feels like everyone has a connection to the Sixers somehow.
Except Alex Lynn. I want no connection between Alex Lynn and the Sixers team.
True.
Dave, as we watch, as we consume NBA free agency going, I'm sure you're going to be on it. Do you have anything planned for this week as far as like pieces? No particular hurry this week. Anything going on in terms of free agency special?
I just recorded a No Particular Hurry. It's on pause right now. The subject wasn't prepared to release, so we'll do that hold, and maybe I'll do another one.
Nice.
In terms of pieces, I'm thinking of doing a piece on Big Surprise. Certainly not the first to write about the Ben Simmons trade market.
How novel.
But pretends perhaps more on the like, what would it really be like if he was still here? Like, we keep hearing these asks where Daryl Morey wants an all-star and four picks, which makes you think like, okay, he's not going to get that. Is he hoping that someone gets anywhere close to that? Or is he just so far off that he's not even going to consider trading Ben Simmons?
I don't know. It just seems like he's just waiting for some team to get really desperate. But
yeah.
On the flip side, I like him going with the pawn shop analogy that I did. Like, listen, when you go into a pawn shop and you're trying to sell something, you start with the highest offer that you can get and then negotiate on the way down. And I don't mind Daryl doing it this way.
Is it like the fantasy football thing where you send a bad offer to everyone in the league and hope someone accidentally accepts?
I mean, I can't confirm nor deny that I've done that in fantasy, but, you know, if it works, it works. You know, if the, for example, if the Bulls are willing to give us Zach LaVine and like five first round picks, I'm not 100% against it because you can always flip those picks and get the guys that fit, you know?
You could get LaVine and your boy Covington and more, yeah.
That's what I'm talking about. Okay, yeah. Let's end this podcast on a good note because it ended with Robert Covington being back on the Sixers. Dave, always a pleasure talking to you. And yeah, we'll see how this free agency and offseason deal goes. And I don't know. You know, if he's not traded, I just want Ben Simmons to work out. I really do. Because I love this guy. I love having this guy on my team. I don't know why I do. I am a glutton for punishment, but I enjoy it.
I'm with you. I feel like we're a dying breed of fans, of huge fans of both Embiid and Ben. But I know there's others out there too, and I'm still one of them.
Me and Dave we're the tag team that supports Ben Simmons. We're out here dressed like the Legion of Doom, like the 80s. So, yeah.
Or the Rockers spandex with the Legion of Doom.
No. Nobody wants to see me rocking spandex. No one wants to see that. No one wants to see me try to squeeze my 40-year-old buddy.
But the drop spandex. Kicks. Drop kicks.
Drop kicks are nice. Drop kicks are nice. Dave, always love having you. And I will talk to you soon, buddy.
More to-dos, less time, and an infinite number of tools to keep track of. Sometimes doing business has never felt harder, but you don't need a miracle to hit your goals. You can just use HubSpot because their all-in-one customer platform can make growing your business infinitely easier. Imagine this: high-quality leads, fast closing deals, wildly happy customers, and more benchmark-breaking quarters. It's not a miracle, it's HubSpot. Visit HubSpot.com to get started today.
Support for this podcast came from Sass. Data is everything. And now everything is data, which means more to process, more to analyze,
And now more than ever, speed to answers matters. So how do you produce those answers as fast as the world produces data? With SAS Viya, the quickest way from a billion points of data to a point of view. It's a more productive data and AI platform that helps you get more done. Learn more today at sas.com/VIYA.